Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
It's to the rate and term in real time. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the man running against Maxine Waters, Frank DeMartini. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a visit from Vinny Tortorich. And now, the science is still out on the morning after pill, but it's in on him. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on Monday. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. And we appreciate you turning people onto the show. That's my favorite part about being me. Good day, Gina Grand.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
That is so cool.
Yeah, man. Vinny Tortorich in studio.
Hello.
Hey, look who got a new F8 hat.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Oh,
crisis averted.
I went over to Chris Morgan's house, who writes all those things, last night, and sitting by the right when I walked in, and the grand entrance was two hats and two t-shirts. I said, thank you. And I turned around and left.
Chris, I hate to call in a favor, you know, big time you, but it's pretty big. I need a new hat.
Yeah.
You'd like this guy, Brian, because you know, the people, it's an interesting wiring, you know, like I'm the guy because of my wiring, my horrible childhood or whatever it is. If I go to the bar and I order a martini and they go, any particular type of, I'm like, well, that's whatever you got, just spitting it. I blow a snot in it. It's something that's made in the bathtub.
Whatever's
I'm
not in the well,
something to squeeze
bottle. Go below the well,
it's got to be plastic, something that squeezes. I want something that whistles when it inhales after you squeeze my vodka into it. Yeah, that's fine. That's
bottom shelf, but behind what's on the bottom shelf.
Use lighter fluid. Don't even use vodka. I'm not worth it. This guy says, you want a drink? And I said, sure. And he said, I was making myself a gin and tonic. I said, yeah, I'll try a gin and tonic. Gets out a thing of gin that's about a third the size of a 750 thing. Says it's a special thing you got to find. You got to search around for this kind of gin. Then he gets the jigger out.
Oh.
That's right.
What up, my jigger?
That's right. And he pours it into the jigger. Now, I've like sort of slop. And he sets it. Then he does.
He's going to tell me he had Avion bottle.
Does the move with the tonic at the end where he tops it off in a semicircular fashion. Wow. I don't even know if I'm allowed to do that. Then he takes not his finger. Not a spoon, not his dick, but an actual mixing rod.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And does it and presents it to
That's
me.
Wow. He's got connoisseur.
Best gin and tonic I've ever had in my life. Like, I could taste the difference, but I would never think take that time.
It's made with care.
I love
it. Kinda, it's like when a sandwich tastes better when someone makes it for you. You know, someone presents you with a turkey sandwich. It's so much better when you make it.
And frankly, probably the ingredients were better than the one you get at the ballpark in a plastic cup.
Yeah. The bespoke gin that he had.
You don't have your own swizzle stick.
So that was nice. We watched the Willie T. Ribs doc, and it was good times.
Was he like, not enough explosions?
Let me punch this up for you.
Well, it's all guys racing cars, but there's not enough crashes.
Right.
Like, he's you know. Where's the arm butter?
So that was good. All right, so let's see, a bunch of stuff. Vinny Tortorich is here. Tragically, our friend Ralphie May passed away in Vegas on Thursday, I believe it was. Ralphie was morbidly obese. He was a big dude. I think he was 45 years of age. Ralphie's backstory is, and Gary, you got to fact check some of this, I guess he was always a big guy, but he was a high school football player, and then he got in this horrible car accident where it's like truck rolled a million times, and he was like in the hospital in a coma and stuff like that. And then when he got out, he was no longer playing football, obviously, and probably no longer moving around that much, but still had the appetite of a ball player. And he put on all the weight, and then later on, I think he had the gastric bypass surgery. Didn't he have the surgery?
I think he did. Yeah.
So how does that surgery, how is it so effective for some people? Like Lisa Lampanelli's dropped 150 pounds, and it's very effective. I had a friend from Acme Theater who lost a whole bunch of weight that way, and then some people are able to eat through it or not have it be effective for them. How does that work? And do you approve of that surgery?
I do not. I do not approve of a surgery where doctors say that you can't be trusted with the stomach, because it's not the stomach that caused the problem. It's the hormones. You're basically saying, with hormones, it's almost like telling a woman, I want you to really concentrate this month and not have a period.
I hate you.
Yes,
you know,
focus.
It just doesn't work. You know?
Oh, yeah, right.
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 You know? So the bottom line is, you know, I've seen, I do consults every day, and people with bypass, you know, the gastric bypass or the sleeve or the Foby pouch, or I know all of them. They're all this version of the same thing where they're taking most of your stomach away somehow.
By the way, I'm now going to add to my billboards, my disturbing billboards of neighborhoods you don't want to live in. You know, I've seen the ones where it's like, we'll replace any tooth for $19.99. There's the other ones where the Mexican lawyer with the bad mustache is pointing, saying, I'll work for you.
And right.
The number is 37-6s his phone number.
L-866-666-666. Right. Extension 666.
I see these ones where the guys are eating a big sloppy cheeseburger and it says, eat whatever you want, get the bypass. You know, get the surgery.
That's an insane
billboard,
the message
too.
Drives me crazy. That one and the one where you can freeze your fat away.
Yes.
The valley is full of those. And you know, you have the doctor's daughter that's really thin.
Asking for a friend.
Right.
No.
It's great. I do love advertising where all you have to do is put a thin 19-year-old chick on the billboard and, like, I guess it works.
Yeah.
No arguing with that.
And something that either rhymes or, like, has, like, some sort of, you know, alliteration, like, freeze the fat. Like,
right.
Oh, my God, they obviously must work.
There's apps in it.
Right.
There is no free lunch in any of this. And what happens with the gastric bypass, yes, there are the Lisa Lampanellis of the world that take it off, keep it off because she's diligent. The problem with it is that you are basically cutting it out to now do calorie in, calorie out, and that will work for anyone who, number one, wants to do that, and once you stop doing it, you can't do it anymore. Number two, the bigger problem is you're now malnutrition because you cannot get enough of the correct nutrients in your body to live correctly anymore. And these people have problems all the time, and a lot of them gain the weight back. They will lose 150, 200 pounds, and then start putting it back on because you can stretch that small piece of stomach and almost, in effect, create another stomach. Or if you're using that tiny stomach to constantly put brownies or ice cream in, they figure out things that they can put, that they can stuff in, that they like. And it becomes Weight Watchers all over again, where you're saving points, basically.
Well, yeah, and I watched one of those shows about it, and they said, you know, you have to be so careful what you eat, because you're getting 2 tablespoons of food. And if you're eating a fudge brownie, you are screwed. You have no nutrients for the day.
Well, can I make this statement?
Sure.
Would it be accurate to say that the amount of sort of discipline and calculating and sort of self vigilance, that's even a term, one must take to get this process done and to properly have proper nutrition after the procedure is more than it would take just to eat, listen to you.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So it's almost like kind of a catch-22, which is it's really only going to work for people who could have lost it your way anyway.
Right. And when you go back to that billboard where they're going, hey, eat your cheeseburger. You could do this. You know, life is easy. We can do a surgery and you're going to be fine. That's where the problem is. We're sending the wrong message to everyone. Whereas if you listen to like the great Dr. Ron Rosedale, who said, look, you know, we can cure the entire obesity epidemic in 9 days if people just fasted and got their sugars in line and got their triglycerides in line and got everything in line and then just started eating correctly from that day on out. But that's way too simple, and it's not sexy, and it's not pretty, and no one wants to do that.
Not sexy like a stomach staple.
I got a statement, a controversial.
Ooh.
I was thinking about this. I was talking to Mike August on Thursday. I called him after I found out about Ralphie May because we were in the Vegas airport. Sorry, we're in Burbank heading to Vegas a week and a half ago, Mike and I. And we looked up, and they're prone to have all the Vegas performers, you know, who wear
who's
what.
In town. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank Christ they took the big Jimmy Kimmel Live one off of, you know, Terminal C, which would be southwest of Vegas all the time, because every time I was in the C boarding group and I was smashed between like two morbidly obese people and one morbidly obese baby and the crying someone with their dog and stuff, and we'd be shuffling off to go to Vegas to pick up $1,000 and then turn around and come home.
Jimmy's smiling over your shoulder.
This big picture, Jimmy. Then literally, it wasn't on the wall on the other side of the airport. It was where Southwest was. Like the key, the person who took the ticket stood right in front of Jimmy, and I just have to look up every time and go, Jesus Christ, what went wrong?
The captain on the billboard said, "Hi, Adam.
See ya.
Have a good trip. See you about on the way back."
Yeah, I'm going to Vegas too. We're going to Mr. Chow's to celebrate my birthday with celebrities.
Dinner, you know,
yeah, and then we'll turn around and get a private jet and come back.
So what's up with you?
There couldn't be anyone. Unless, I don't know, Jimmy Fallon flew a lot of Southwest or maybe certain senators or Leno or something. There couldn't be anyone who ever gets in that line that looks up and felt what I felt like when I'd see Jimmy and take
that's a rare,
the entire
that's a
wall.
Rare perspective.
It was only Southwest. And by definition, if we're on Southwest, we're just going somewhere I don't want to go to try to make a nickel and turn around and come back. That would be it. But anyway,
live show in Vegas. See you guys there.
Yeah, it's awesome. So we looked up about a week and a half ago, and we're going to Vegas, and there was Ralph. It was Ralphie May, sort of, hey, who's playing the Luxor, whatever it is, and Ralphie, and he looked really big, and Mike and I sort of looked at each other and went, didn't he do the procedure, like the bypass? Like, I thought the weight was coming off. It didn't look like it was, or it came off and it came back on. So that was our thought, and then, of course, you know, a week later, it's like, Ralphie passed. But the statement that I'm going to tell you that I think is interesting. I'll tell you right after this. Forza Motorsports 7, man, on Xbox One. Oh, Sonny's like, they're a sponsor? I was just playing that this morning. I want in on this.
All of a sudden, you're in good graces.
Yeah, he's interested.
Like, tell me about this podcast.
I played it over the weekend. The graphics are stunning, and I was killing it at Laguna Seca because I've watched so many videos. I knew where the turns were.
Yeah.
It totally can help you with the tracks.
Oh my God, can it? That's all I use before I go to one of these tracks. You can collect and race 700 plus cars. Le Mans winning Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe, the Ford GT40, as seen in 24 Hour War. My movie, that's right.
All the Fast and Furious cars.
All the Fast and Furious cars, gorgeous graphics, 4K resolution, 60 frames per second. I mean, it is awesome. And again, Laguna Seca, Sonoma, Long Beach, Watkins Glen. I mean, and then abroad, Monza, Nürburgring, all the great stuff. Anyway, need an Xbox One? You can buy select Xbox One and get a bonus game for free. Check out Xbox One for details, and you can take the lead with Forza Motorsports 7 out now. All right, Vinny.
Yes.
I want any Ralphie May thoughts you may have, but first this. We got the game to play. We got a new song. Okay. So I was talking to Mike, and I don't know why, but we were talking about radio, and then we were talking about radio. I think we're talking about Gina Grad. We're saying, geez, radio's going. Oh, we're talking about the K-Rock doc. So I got a new sizzle reel, 11 minutes long, for the K-Rock doc. And it's very interesting. And basically what happened is they hired DJs who are all weird personalities, and then they let them go do their thing. There's no playlist. Each guy had his own taste, and they would go scour for new music, and then they'd play it first.
They were curators.
Yeah. They were playing, so nobody was playing the Ramones, and Rodney Bingenheimer would play the Ramones, and everyone would go, what is this? And then that's how they became who they were. And now everything's done with testing and group testing and spit out of a computer, and that's how you get, that's why you get dirty laundry every 18 songs.
Oh, and the biggest trend, I think the biggest trend in the last 20 years of radio, maybe more, was DJ lists. You know, the Jack FM model, which popped up all over the country.
Right.
The death of, talk radio, free to HD.
It's so funny when you talk, and I know the guy, like when you talk to the guy who invented this, you go like, I invented Jack FM. And it's like, you just invented having Witchy Woman by the Eagles played before a Steely Dan song.
Yeah, there's
something to it if it becomes successful, but it's weird. Yeah. They think like, I created this format. It's like, you just put songs in order that are 30 years old. All right. Anyway, it's bizarre. But we were sort of lamenting where everything's going. And then, of course, Tom Petty passed away and had that song with the last DJ and blah, blah, blah. And then Mike said, New York's the worst. And I said, yeah, it is bad, right? And he said, yeah, it's all urban radio whenever you turn it on. And I said, last time I was in New York, or 10 times ago, I was walking through, I was putting my little earbud in, I was listening to my little AM, FM, little radio, I like to listen to the local whatever. And I was listening to the urban radio station because that's about all they have. And then they went to commercial break. And they went to commercial break and they weren't advertising Mercedes and they weren't advertising any used car dealers or any of that. It was all food, and it was all food under $3. And it was all like, come in AM, PM and get the cheddar bites that are deep dip. We take a hot dog, we hollow it out, we fill it with cheese, then we fill it with jalapeno sauce, then we deep fry, then come on in AM, PM and grab your whatever. And it's like the next commercial was for Cheetos, and the next commercial was for McDonald's, and it was all Taco Bell. It was like 79 cents, come on in, get a whole meal. And I realized every single commercial I heard. Now, I'm guessing they're sizing up the audience literally and figuratively, but they're going, these people aren't buying Mercedes-Benz, but they are going to go out and spend $2 on lunch.
Absolutely.
And it just kept going and going and going. I realized an entire commercial break just went through. I didn't hear anything for any dentist or car dealership. It was all food. It was all the cheapest, lowest food. And then I thought, we had this. If you talk to some people, they'll say, Reagan and crack in the inner city. And it was like a war on basically black people and brown people in the inner city when these drugs were introduced and all the gangs blew up and all the fighting. I think we're going to look back on this time period as like a war on poor people with GMOs.
Yeah.
Like we're literally, these people are dropping dead of diabetes because that's all they're eating. That's all they're being fed. It's just like they have $2 for lunch. They want something salty and greasy and sugary and whatever, and they just go down and get it. But I don't think when we go back and look at what's happening, that the poor people are getting fatter and the rich people are getting healthier. It's going to be a weird time as we go back and look at this.
Divide, yeah.
It is, and it's talked about all the time. We always talk about the poor this, the poor that, and how we're going to help the poor. And the bottom line is, I was talking to the guy who works in my yard every week, and he was eating Taco Bell because now Taco Bell has a new thing out that people have been loading my Twitter with.
I saw it.
It's like, hey, Taco Bell has eggs, and it's like, when has Taco Bell ever steered you correctly? It's like...
instead of a shell, it's a fried egg in the shape of a shell.
Trust me, this is not good. I don't have to look into it.
2,000 times.
Exactly. Right. You've already screwed me over a bazillion times. This time, Taco Bell got it right? I don't think so. And, I asked the guy, I said, why can't you do better than this? Because I fed the guy a real meal for lunch. He was helping me clean out one of my sheds, and I have two guys, and I gave them a real meal. They're eating it, and the guy says to me, hey, man, you got soda? And I said, well, I have soda water. He goes, no, like Coca-Cola?
Shasta.
I said, no, I don't have any of that. He looked at me like I was weird.
Right.
He's like, wait, you know, you must be rich. You have nice cars around here. You're hiring me, and you don't have a soda? It's like, no, I don't do soda here. You know, and I had this whole conversation with this guy about not having soda. But that's the problem. You see, when you have 300- and 400-pound poor people now just waddling down the street, and we look at them because they're walking down the street with a family bag of Doritos, and we're going, oh, yeah, look at that person. You know, that person doesn't have a choice. Their brain actually thinks they're starving. Their brain does not know that they weigh 400 pounds and they're waddling down the street. The brain is getting the message, this person's starving, and that person has to keep eating. It's because the hormones are in reverse. It's like an alcoholic. They need a lot of drinks to keep feeling high. These people need a lot of Doritos, a lot of 64-ounce Cokes, a lot of junk food just to get even again.
Yeah, it's one of these things that kind of drives me nuts, which is all we do is politically talk about a bunch of crap that's never going to work or change, but we never get to stuff like this. You know, the nuts and the bolts.
The actionable items.
These people, what's really going on? And then, of course, you go to school and you get the free lunch, and that's the worst meal you'll have all day in terms of health. So what is that's a weird message for the government to send, which is, oh, no, no, we'll feed your kid
we'll
for free and let's poison him. Like, it's insane. It's so I can't figure in a world and in a time when we know so much, why just never. I don't, look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but everything from the pyramid that the government came up with to what they serve your kid in the free lunch and everything that's going on, why aren't we better than this?
Why haven't we learned our lesson?
Well, because, you know, when you look at the pyramid, from day one, the first pyramid we put out, they were demonizing meat from day one on the pyramid because ever since, I was telling Gina this off the air just now, ever since 1917, when a Seventh-day Adventist decided that she had a vision that we shouldn't be eating cow flesh, and she happened to know Kellogg, and she worked for Kellogg, and they built this whole thing that we need to eat grains. We've been on this grain train ever since, and no one seems to want to get off, and the government is drunk from the money we make from sugars and grains. This is not me talking. I can take this back 100 years and just show you, and you would go, oh, wait a minute. Meat was on the pyramid, but by the time we got to my plate, because everything had to become my space, my this, my that, my plate, they didn't even mention meat anymore. They mentioned grains, they meant by name, they mentioned vegetable by names, they mentioned fruit by name, and under meat, they just mentioned protein, which could mean anything. And as a matter of fact, they wouldn't even let dairy sit at the big boy table. They put dairy off to the side.
I was screaming at Lynette yesterday because I was thinking about my mom and how she thought meat was murder and that was all. And so we would eat for dinner. Here's what happened. Lynette was making Sonny a sandwich. And she was going with the Italian meats, you know, and Sonny was in his, you know, prone position on the sofa with his shirt off, like his feet up, playing video games. And I have to yell at him all the time because, like, she'll go, Sonny, would you like an Italian deli sandwich? And he'll go like, yeah, okay. I'll go, that's not okay. Yes, thank you. Or yes, thank you.
Yes, please.
It's good, please.
Lovely.
You know, not
delightful.
Okay. And then I had to launch into, you know, my house. It was 37 grain sprouted bread that we had to cut with a chainsaw. Then would fall in half. It'd make a sound like a tree falling over when it would fall over. Then we'd go into the fridge and get some raw
slice of bread, Mom.
Raw, unroasted peanut butter, unsalted, unroasted peanut butter, which just tastes like someone chewed up chickpeas and spit it on your bed. That's what this stuff is. Bread is what it tastes like. Paste. And you couldn't use a knife because it wasn't spreadable. You'd have to hold it down to put it on like you put on a toupee.
Like
you have to mold it with your hands. Yeah, like silly putty. You're going for the funny section of the paper. Like you'd have to use it and spread it out and just tamp it down. It would pop up and you'd
like
tamp
spackle.
It down again. Yeah. Then, of course, you couldn't have jam or jelly. You had to have honey. Honey's natural. Then you'd the honey on top of it. You'd mash it together. It was the most miserable goddamn sandwich you ever ate in your life. And it was every bit worse for you than it would have, than the deli meat sandwich would be. But yet we were being healthy. And then that night, my mom would make a huge pot of whole wheat pasta.
Oh,
now,
God.
Look, they've worked out a lot of stuff now.
Yes.
They've worked out things now. 1975, it was not worked out. Whole wheat pasta was a mess. You know, now they'll do, oh, this pasta, but it's, you know, plant-based or zucchini pasta or whatever. They didn't have any of that.
This is broom strands.
Yes, and they'd cook it up, and it would all bind together. It would just be a big glutinous lump, and then you'd take some low-sodium tomato sauce with no meat, of course. No meat, just straight,
you never
just the
ate
tomato.
Meat as a kid? Your mom didn't give you meat?
She didn't have meat. She didn't cook. She didn't buy steaks. She didn't do anything.
Was meat free?
Yeah, it'd have to be free.
Literally, last night, Vinny, have you heard about that? I'm sure everyone has. I'm the last one to know about this, but I had, it was pad Thai or whatever it was, but the noodles were made from
soba.
Soy noodles.
They were
tofu noodles, and I chose it because I wasn't feeling so well the last couple of days, so I wanted something a little lighter. And it was, I would have a hard time telling you the difference just in taste between noodles.
They can make anything taste good anymore. They can. That's what Adam was just talking about. They can even make the 7-grain pasta taste good. Here's the weird thing about tofu.
Please.
I'm going to literally lose my mind today. It's Sunday morning. I didn't want this to happen, but here we go. The vegans are always saying, hey, man, have tofu, have soybeans, have tofurkey, have some fakin. Mm-hmm. All this crap, right, made out of soybean. And then in the next breath, they'll say, hey, man, no GMOs. Now, let me make
it's
a little connection.
The ultimate modified ingredient.
90% of all soy sold around the world is GMO, is genetically modified food. 90%. Good luck finding that 10%. I don't want to hear that your tofurkey was non-GMO soy. So on one level, they're telling you eat all the soy in the world, by the way, which is the most inflammatory food you can ever come up with, is soy, period. And then number two, it's all GMO. And then, hey, bro, don't eat the GMO, dude.
I have a man bun, bro.
It drives me crazy.
And my doctor says you are absolutely to stay away from soy at all costs because talk about messing up your hormones with estrogen and soy and all this stuff. It is not good for you.
I'll be right back. I'm going to throw up.
Any thoughts on Ralphie May? Did you know him? Did you consult him? Did he ever attempt to seek you out?
Yes. I never consulted him. I was just showing Gina in my phone, I have Ralphie May's number. And before he, I remember when he did the gastric bypass stuff, before that, someone in his camp got in touch with me. Ralphie was apparently wanted to talk to me. And then Ralphie's a super smart guy. That's part of every comedian's problem. They're smarter than the average bear. He goes, what is this guy going to tell me? It's like, well, he's not going to let you have sugars and grains. And Ralphie kept kicking that can down the street and never making the phone call. The thing about me is I go by the law of attraction. I'm not going to just call a guy and go, hey, man, you got to come see me. You know, I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
And he just never got in touch. And Serena and I both love his comedy. You know, we do the Cuba diving bit all the time. To each other. It's just a family joke, and we love Ralphie. And when I walked into the bedroom and told Serena he died, I literally, she almost started crying. We loved the guy. We loved watching his comedy, but the guy would never make the phone call, and it kills me that he didn't.
Yeah, well, you know, I would assume that if you reach out to him, you'll have about the same batting average that if AA meetings came to guys' apartments right. and got them in headlocks and told them to put their beer down and dragged them to a meeting. About the same batting average. They got to come to you. They got to want to. They got to want to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. We got fit or bullshit. We got a theme for today. We have a Dick Banks song. Ooh. Our guest is here. You know you've arrived, by the way. Our guest is Frank DeMartini, where I said, I'm going to look this guy up. And when I Googled his name, it was like, do you mean the guy who's running against Maxine Waters, or is it the movie producer? And I was like, oh, yeah, oh, there's a movie producer with the same name or whatever, and then it's the same guy. But that's a good sign. If someone Googles you and you go, you mean the cage fighter or the writer of poetry? And it's the same dude?
Yeah.
That's a good life right there. Yeah. All right. We'll play the game. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. Oh, man, I understand. We're talking about putting things off, why someone may put off the home security system. The slimy sales guys, long-term contracts, expensive installations, why bother? But you can get the best protection, and you can do it so easy these days. All you have to do is get a Simply Safe home security system. There's two eyes in there. Top-of-the-line protection, no long-term contracts, no hidden fees. Dawson's going to be moving into his new place soon, and he'll just pack up his Simply Safe system that he has in his old place and take it with him, man. Just order it online, set it up. You can put it all up in an hour in your home. Family's protected 24/7. Get 10% off right now. Simply Safe, SimpliSafe.com/Adam. It's a great system. I have it. Mike August has it. Peel and stick, up and running. Batteries last up to 10 years. No pulling wires, no guys walking through your bedroom. Just do it yourself. SimpliSafe.com. And, slash Adam, get the 10% off, or you can get it at your local Best Buy these days. All right, let me just get this guy off the phone. He's been on hold. Mike, 49, Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey, Adam.
Hey.
I was just wondering, did Harvey Weinstein ever offer to give you a massage?
No. I do love when I hear stories like he wanted Jenna Elfman to watch him take a bath and stuff like that. I'm sort of intrigued. Like, I get the part where, you know, hey, why don't you come up to the room and have a drink?
But
watch me take a shower is a weird.
Is it also that oddly specific thing that you, like, you always key on? And when, like, you know they're telling the truth because it had an oddly specific detail. Like, watch me take a bath is not.
It has nothing to do with the other person.
Yeah, it's not, hey, you know, give me this so you can get ahead in your career.
No, right. If you're fabricating a story, you don't fabricate a bizarre story. You just fabricate a straight down the line story. Called me up this room, put his hand on my thigh, his robe fell open.
Said, you know, the game is played.
Yeah, right. One of those. Not he wanted me to watch him take a shower. Sounds insanely specific.
1,000% believable.
Yes. Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and it'll be interesting because it's a world where Hollywood's a world that used to kind of protect its own. They would go, listen, you know, whatever O'Reilly did, or Roger Ailes, that's despicable. Look, what Clinton does is what Clinton does. Like, he's allowed to, you know, they sort of saw it that way. And everyone does that. They protect their own. You know, the other side does the same thing.
Right.
You know, they're going after Bill Clinton. Right. Leave O'Reilly alone.
Your industry, your party.
That's what we did. Now it's just game on everybody. Yeah. That Hollywood's going to turn on their own. Like, he is Hollywood. That is Weinstein.
And we'll get into that in the news because there's even more new developments with that.
Well, I don't know why no one ever does the math. He's a producer. Mm-hmm. He's been in this town for 40 years, and he's a horrible individual.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people
so
are.
Shouldn't we be surprised that he's not up to this? I'd be disappointed if he wasn't up to this. He's a horrible guy who's been working this town for 40 years.
Yeah.
All right. It really couldn't happen to a worse guy. All right. So good. All right. Shall we play the game?
We got to hear the song first?
Yeah. We got a new Rich Banks
song. For Vinny.
Oh, boy.
Got a feeling in my gut. Want to eat some pasta. Maybe a donut. But this dude named Vinny keeps telling me the way to do it is in S&G. No sugar, no grains.
Make it healthy.
No sugar, no grains
for me.
No sugar, no grains.
Keep it skinny.
No sugar in
S&G.
Na 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 na.
Yeah, man. Love it.
Wow.
Rich Banks, everybody. With an assist by who? Was Lynch in on that one?
Is that a Lynch Banks original? Lennon McCartney, Carney of our day?
I'm impressed, you know.
God love it. All right, let's play the game.
Adam, before we start the game, can I ask you a fast and furious question? Just one.
Oh, all right.
Please?
Yes, please.
I was sitting half drunk with Chris Morgan last night, and he's like, oh, man, we had to film this graveyard scene. It's like, when you mean when Letty died? And he's like, no, that was four this, on eight. And when Han died. And then I was telling him every scene from every movie.
Yeah, like Chris Farley, hey, remember when you wrote Imagine?
That was awesome.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. I watched like the first one or two of them. And then, you know, when they started doing like Tokyo Drift and all that, I just fell out and I never came back. And then I saw one on television. So I went, oh, let me watch this. It was like seven, maybe six or seven. And then one of the opening scenes, they're driving through the desert.
Yeah.
And there's a girl driving the car and Vin Diesel, and it's an American muscle car. And Vin Diesel says, okay, keep it under 8,000 RPMs. When you get to 9,000 RPMs, and right there, I clicked it off, and Serena goes, you're not going to watch it? And I went, Serena, it's an American muscle car. It doesn't have a flat plane crank in it. It's a push rod engine.
That's right.
There is no way they would have to have a Ferrari engine under that hood with a really, really short stroke to get anywhere near 9,000 RPMs. This is bullshit.
Yes.
I'm out. I'm out and I'm done.
Well,
what do you say? I mean, I couldn't even watch the rest of the movie.
The thing that's weird about, we talk about this, like you're going to disagree with this, but I get it. Like, I get the people that go, I used to work with a bunch of poor Mexicans, and I, you know, for lunch, good luck getting them to spend $5 going down to Jamba Juice and getting a vegetable smoothie. You know what I mean? They just go, we're going to Taco Bell.
Right.
And they get as much greasy, whatever. And I kind of get it. Like, I get it. They want their grease, they want their flavor, and it's cheap and everything else. But when it comes to making a movie, you can simply write 6,000 RPMs.
Which is very, 6,500 is believable.
Right.
I would even buy 67.
And it's like, there's a scene in Gone in 60 Seconds, which I never stop watching, not the first one, the second, the Nick Cage one, where they're, Robert Duvall's like in his thing and he's playing him tapes, you know, of Le Mans, Ferrari, Daytona, V12, 4 liter. He says like 4,200 peak horsepower. And it's like, that's 8,000 is peak horse. You're off by half. And as a matter of fact, anyone who knows anything about those kind of engines, they don't make any horsepower at 4,000 RPM. They only make it all at 5,000 and above, like the high winding ones. Mm-hmm. They don't make anything down low, but like, I don't know, why write it that way? Why not just say 7 or 8,000 RPM peak? It's easy to do. Why?
Especially in a movie that's like your number one audience is car people. People who have
racing
cars.
Why not
get all the experts to look at your?
I will give you my theory. Script. I will give you my theory on these things.
On why they just throw out Aurelius.
I will give
numbers.
You my theory after hanging out quite a bit with the guy who writes all these movies. The folks in the movies don't always say what's on the page. Sometimes it's a little... Well, what I'm saying is let's say you got Robert Duvall. And you got him to do a piece of shit like Gone in 60 Seconds, right? And he's just doing it for the paycheck, right? And you got this thing that says Le Mans, Daytona, V12, 4 liter, twin overhead cam, peak horsepower, and on the page it says 8,200 RPM. But he just yells out 4,200 RPM, and then he goes, I'm going to my trailer. And somebody goes, wait a minute. Then the chick with the chain on her glasses gets out of the director chair and goes, it's 8,200. And Duvall's like, oh, who cares?
Are we not getting
back
on the set?
Please, I nailed it. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to know. It's better this way.
But Brian is right. The only people watching are people like me who immediately turned it off because I went, okay, if we're starting with 9,000 RPMs, I cannot watch anymore.
Robert Duvall doesn't care what you think.
What I'm saying
is... Vin Diesel. Okay.
You got to memorize the dialogue. You got to spit it out service. I'm trying to rig the camera rig or whatever they call those things where you're sitting up high. When the car's sitting on the whatever.
Oh, on the trailer.
I'll just bet you. I'm now protecting Chris. I'll bet you on the page it said 6,000. But you got to memorize the page.
Can we find out?
We could find out.
I would love that information.
And then you got to spit it out. And the perform, maybe he said six in one take, but the take was bad. Like, the performance was bad, and then you nail the, like Duvall did, but he, at the end, spits out the wrong number, and he goes, I'm going home, or nobody, everyone goes, that's the right take, but no one knows or cares about the number. So maybe reality, it is on the page.
All right, we'll let that go, but we need to revisit this, because it stopped me from watching the rest of the movie.
Which number was it?
It was like one of the more recent ones, where the opening, almost
the
opening
scene. They're in the desert, probably.
They're driving in the desert, they're going to a drag race in the desert, and the girl is driving a black, I want to say like a
we've narrowed it down to six.
It's like a black Barracuda or something.
That's like number one.
No. This was, really?
Well, they're going to the desert. They're going to race wars, right?
Yeah, something.
Unfortunately named Race Wars. in the desert.
Come on, everyone.
Let's have a race war.
All right, we'll figure it out. Let's play the theme song.
Again?
Is that
no,
you got making you fit or fat? Let's get the real deal from Vinny Tortorich as we play Fit or Bullshit.
Gary, you got to look for that scene now.
We've got it here. We're queuing it up.
Which one was it?
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm confused. What clip are you talking about? The Race Wars thing?
Yeah.
We were working on Gone in 60 Seconds.
All right, well, you can do that.
Race Wars from movie one or movie eight?
Must be for me.
It was like seven or eight. He's driving out to the desert with this girl, and she's driving the car.
It might be seven. You're right. It's the opening of seven.
It's an American muscle car. I can't remember what it was, but it just threw me off, and I went, I'm done.
All right. Well, let's hear Duvall.
Keep in mind, this is a 71-year-old.
To get it to the right part.
Okay, it's fine.
Yeah. Like you said, reality on reality's terms. This is a 71-year-old actor who probably partied a bit back in the day with, Pacino and all that whole crew. So,
hey, man, can you not read now?
You might not be able to get the words out quite right.
No, you guys, it's like, for me, it's secondhand because I live in that world. But if you gave me a bunch of designers and you said you got to spit out a whole soliloquy with 8 or 10 designers.
Givenchy, like Chanel, Louboutin, Brand.
Right. And so I said Louis Vuitton. And after I got through my whole thing, I just
is it
go.
A shoe or handbag,
Adam?
Print it.
I just go, it's good. Come on. I just had to get through that whole mouthful.
Literally nobody thinks it's Baton.
Right.
But there is a Louboutin, which I thought was short for Louis Vuitton, and I embarrassed myself
Louboutin.
In front of several.
Oh, boy. All right, here's Duvall.
I should be glad I didn't know that.
You're not gay, Brian.
You know who used to do this?
What?
You know. Come here. Okay. The Ferrari 365 GTB4 Daytona. Le Mans 1971. Quad cam?
That's a V12.
V12, right. Here it peaks. 5,500 RPM.
What do you know about Raymond Calitri?
Now, we did look for the script online, and I'm not sure if this is somebody just transposing the movie after the fact, but the scripts that I found do have those numbers in them.
5,500 RPM.
Most
like
of those
I said,
scripts
I think
are
a
transcribed.
Lot of those are transcribed.
Like someone just transcribed. Writes down what we
said. 5,500 is not in the peak power zone of that race car. It's 8,500
where
that engine goes.
Yeah, it doesn't even spool up at that point.
Right. But I guarantee, I think he spit it out. And then went, screw it, we're moving on.
That's my take.
All right, that's my take.
One take, Duvall.
Well, does Duvall want to be in this movie, or does he want to get paid and get out of here? All right. Oh, now we got Fast and Furious.
Oh, boy. Race Wars.
This is it. A black muscle car.
Come on, Dom. So where are you taking me?
They say an open road helps you think.
I've never been on an open road.
Been? Where are you going?
That's good.
So you don't remember any of this yet?
It's not fair. You know I don't. So what is it exactly that you're trying to show me?
That.
Race Wars.
Race Wars.
God.
We used to come here?
Come here. We invented it.
Yeah. The Italians always win the race war. A lot of chicks dancing in slow motion. I gotta get onto the set. I gotta get a part. Rusty, the crusty mechanic. And the... My angle is I make fun of other movies in this movie. That sound as dumb as Duvall did in Gone in 60 Seconds. All right, Gary, do you have the part that he's talking about? Are we just going to watch the movie?
I thought that was the part he was talking about where they're riding down the...
She gets behind the wheel of the car and she's going to race it. And he goes, listen, you got to keep this thing below 8 or 9,000. It's one of those two numbers. And I'm going, 8 or 9,000.
All right, Gary.
It is a muscle car.
I'm sorry. We were focused on Gone in 60 Seconds when he was talking about it. That's my mistake. Give me a moment.
We've got to figure out a way to multi something over there.
So she has a memory issue.
All right. fit or bullshit?
Okay. Today, I do not recommend anyone eating any of these foods on a regular basis. I just want to be very clear about that. This is football Sunday food.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So this is, and by the way, when I mention fried foods, I'm not talking about frying it in coconut flour or anything. This is going all the way. The best of the worst is what we're looking for here. Number one. Pick the best choice of the following if you're trying to at least kind of try on Football Sunday. A, buffalo chicken wings. B, loaded baked potato. Loaded baked potato skins. C, homemade onion rings.
Okay.
All right.
I got mine.
What best of the worst.
Yeah.
Right.
Chicken wings are a weird thing. I don't like them. I don't
really?
Like buffalo, but they're
either.
Too greasy and too much skin and too much whatever. And the little drumettes are okay, but it's not worth the mess.
Not a ton of bang for your buck.
And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I'm a douche. When we went to do a show in San Diego 2 years ago, Joe, my former assistant, and he's killing it on Corolla Drinks with Lynette right now. Great guy. Showed up backstage with me and he said, I know how much you love chicken wings, the buffalo chicken wings. And he presented me with breaded buffalo chicken wings. And then I said, Jay, you're my sister for 5 years.
How many wing runs
have I ever gone to wing runs? Like, nope. And I'm like, have I ever brought up wings? Like, nope. You ever seen me eat a chicken wing? It's like, no. Like, but then how do you know I love them so much? He's like,
your reputation.
I thought you like, I just want to give you some wings. And I'm like, now I'm a douchebag because now I'm arguing with him.
Right.
Because I can't wrap my mind around the fact that I've never eaten a. This is right up there with when I said to Ray the other day, I said, Ray, since when do you start everything with dude? Like, he's like, dude, you gotta fix your roof. And I said, when do you start saying dude all the time? And he said, you say it all the time. I was like,
that's not
wait
answer.
A minute, that doesn't work. Like when a cop pulls you over and goes, how fast were you going? You go, you sped.
Yeah.
How'd you catch me?
Dude.
Like you don't get to give him a ticket by simply just reversing the tables. It's a weird thing. So,
but in fact, do you say dude?
I never say dude. I never say. Gary's my witness. He looked at me and he said, you say it all the time. And I know that's just Dumbo Ray on the schoolyard. Just whatever you would say, he'd just go right back to
that
you
dude.
With it.
Yeah,
he literally said, you say it all the time. I've never said dude unless I was making fun of a dude saying dude.
Right.
It's weird, but anyway, with the chicken wings,
and then they were for dudes.
They were breaded. And I don't like the breaded. And then we start getting it down to, are they buffalo chicken wings when they're breaded? And then this person who I hate, who when I go, look, traditionally buffalo chicken wings are not supposed to be breaded. And then this guy, oh, you can get them breaded. Oh. Like that guy in the room.
Thank you, very helpful.
Obviously, they can be found. I'm holding them.
Right.
I'm holding them. Oh, no, you can get them that way. And I go, yeah, I know. But traditionally, these are not made to be breaded. I've had them breaded.
Yet.
Okay. Who are you? Well, by the way, you should have been next to Martin Luther King when he was talking about having a dream. A dream?
Did you have a dream?
Was it yours? Or was it all yours? Or was this last night? Or were you napping?
My dream is that all the children of the world can live together.
Yeah, well, they kind of do already.
Well,
they're living together.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they cannot be judged by the color of their skin, by the content of their character.
Well, who's judging?
I feel like there's an inherent judgment going on in our society with the black and
I'm
white
hungry.
Kids.
You want to get some chicken wings?
Ooh, buffalo?
Was that racially insensitive?
Yeah, it actually was. I don't know why you'd bring chicken wings.
I don't know who that guy is who needs to stand next to you, and you go, you start talking like this. Okay. more than 50% of chicken wings. Like when you go into a restaurant and you order buffalo chicken wings, they show up unbreaded, right? You can get them breaded. Oh. Like, okay, all right. I don't know who that person is. Who is that person?
That is a rare exception. And isn't buffalo chicken wings defined by the buffalo sauce?
Yes, it should be.
You can't have barbecue chicken wings that come out of your oven.
Traditionally, they were just baked and then you
Jay got me the breaded ones.
What you love?
Your favorite.
All right. I'm going chicken wings after all that.
Okay.
I too am going chicken wings because it has the only protein in it.
It's got to be chicken wings.
Quick question. We've already locked in on the wings. Does the baked potato, the fact that it's got the cheese and the bacon and the sort of the fat on it, does that help the baked potato or hurt the... would we be better off eating a plain potato skin versus one with the cheese and the bacon in it?
Or just the baked potato toppings without the potato.
All right, I don't want to muddy it that much.
That would be the best option, Gina. But the actual answer to this question is the baked potato.
Baked potato, that's my answer.
It's hollowed out?
Because it's hollowed out, and you have the cheese in there, you have the sour cream, you have the bacon bits, you have all the and butter and everything else. It's a loaded baked potato. That's much better than chicken wings, right? Because you have the spike from the sugar, and you're not getting a whole lot of protein. And the onion rings, you know, you're going to get the inflammation and the load from the actual flour. So the best of the worst here is actually, again, the French paradox. You know, add a little fat to your carbohydrate.
So better eating a baked potato loaded. But forget about potato skins here. Baked potato with the sour cream and the butter,
right,
and the bacon bits, than a plain baked potato.
Absolutely.
All right.
This changes everything.
All right.
I was watching Jazz at the Baked Potato here in, you know, it's a local place, and I hadn't eaten before, so I went in and I said, just everything you have in that kitchen, bacon, you know, they throw everything on, just bring, I had a full meal without ever touching the actual potato.
Yeah.
On top of the baked potato.
You're using it as like a trough.
Yeah.
All right. Next one.
Number two. Pick the best of these choices. Barbecue steak skewers.
Mm-hmm.
Fried chicken, your favorite, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo style cauliflower.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Chicken quesadilla.
Mm. Buffalo style cauliflower.
It's really good. Yeah, if we're talking about the same thing, you take a head of cauliflower and you roast it and you put the buffalo sauce and stuff on top. So it's kind of crispy and
very solid.
Yeah, it's very good. A lot of restaurants.
Where's
this
been my whole life?
Yeah. It's kind of a new thing.
The gastropubs are all doing it.
Very hipster.
Yeah. All right. Let's see.
It's a tough one.
Beef skewers. Is that what he said?
Barbecue beef skewers. You got the fried chicken, just traditional fried chicken.
I'm trying to think of what are barbecue beef skewers.
To be clear, is barbecue beef skewers the preparation of how they are grilled or
barbecue sauce?
They got
the sauce and the whole thing. Nobody just does it. It's football Sunday. Just people go all out.
Well, I don't know. I never had barbecue beef skewers. But I've had like brisket and then like ribs or whatever.
I took these off of a list off of Google, but I've never heard of these foods.
Let's break it down. See, the cauliflower is good, but it's got the sweet sauce on it. The beef skewers are good, but that's got the sweet sauce on it. Then there was the chicken quesadilla, which is good. I can never figure out. You tell me this, Vinny. You know, it's like, hey, have the soft tacos minus the corn tortilla or the flour tortilla or whatever it is. And, you know, I get the foot-long sub and all the bread that's involved with the foot-long sub. But on something like a quesadilla, how much actual grain are we dealing with? It doesn't seem like there's a lot there.
Not a whole lot. So a guy like you who's not really, you're not metabolically broken, I would say, yeah, knock yourself out once a week if you were having that. But if you weigh 300 pounds and you have a CPAP machine, you might want to steer clear of that.
God, it's interesting, all the CPAP commercials, speaking of like hearing commercials.
That's an indictment on our society. When you need oxygen to sleep,
you
got a problem.
And now they're branching out. It's not just the CPAP machine. It's the CPAP cleaner. The CPAP machine cleaner.
All right. I'm going to say, I can't remember them all, but I'm just going to go, I feel like the beef skewers one, but I'm going to go quesadilla just to mix it up.
I'll say beef skewer. I think that's probably the okay. most protein punch.
All right, just to mix it up, because if that's loaded with barbecue sauce, I know how you feel about barbecue sauce. Now, I'll say quesadillas.
The quesadilla is not good because it you have the flour and you have the this and the whole thing. Quesadilla is not your worst choice, though. The buffalo-style cauliflower is carb-on-carb crime. So that one is...
The cauliflower, really?
Yeah, because it's a carb, and you're adding sugar to the carb. So
the cauliflower's a carb?
Yeah.
Oh.
By definition. You can have cauliflower.
This is an outrage.
Right.
And you can put cheese on it. Great. This is good food. But cauliflower is not a bad carb. Okay. It's a good carb.
Oh, it's a good carb.
But you don't have anything stopping the sugar.
Right.
Right? The carb of the cauliflower is not going to stop the sugar. That leaves us with fried chicken and beef skewers. The fried chicken is going to a lot of inflammation, again, from the flour. So the barbecue beef skewer is going to be your best option here.
Nice.
I knew it. I was just in the mood for a quesadilla.
Sounds pretty good.
All right. Oh, we have the clip, by the way. We have the – now, to be fair to the boys on the journey, it's before Letty did the drag race, not on the way to the desert to the racehorse, but on the
– still on me.
Doing the drag race. All right. Here we go. It says she's driving like a Hemi Cuda, and this guy has an Audi.
Oh, wait a minute. S, wait.
There he goes.
That's not the car they were driving in the desert a few minutes ago.
No, you're looking at... Just please, Vinny. Okay. Let's just get through
this. You cause enough
harm. Keep it under 9,000 RPMs. Kid's going to fry his pistons after the first 200.
You know that's not my style. I got to ride or die, right?
I got to get into riding one of these movies. She got to ride or die, man. Yeah, got to keep it under
9,000 RPM.
Yeah,
on a push rod engine.
Old V8s or that would go off. That would, as I say, grenade. It would grenade. All right, Vinny, I'm going to cut the game short. I'm going to announce everyone a winner but me. No, Brian's the winner on this one. Yes. Yes, because we have a guest waiting. He's a big producer and he's a politician, and I'm interested. And I got thoughts. Boy, do I got thoughts. Vinny Tortorich, you can get a phone consult if you'd like. Just go to his website, Celebrity Fitness Trainers, the podcast. You can listen on iTunes. The Pure Vitamin Club had him this morning, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So check that out. Go to the website, vinnytortorich.com. Thank you, Vinny. Always a good time.
Thank you for having me.
We'll bring Frank DeMartini in next.
And now, the Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports.
Good Sports. It's time for a sports segment. Good Sports. It's time for Ace and Dave. Good Sports. It's time to get it started. NFL highlights. Mixed martial arts fights. Riffing on bad Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. What's the poop, Ace Man? Welcome to Sports Week.
The poop is good, man. What's
it
going
is?
On, Shaq?
Please, listen. Great feedback from everybody. We appreciate that for those who are listening to Good Sports within the Carolla Show. By the way, reminder... yes, we want to. We eventually would like to get this to its own standalone show. We appreciate the feedback on it so far. I do remind you all, Dave Damashek football program available twice a week on iTunes. Maurice Jones-Drew, our old pal Matt Money Smith, cast of thousands joining us there. We do the Sheck Report, which is basically the jerk list, all that kind of stuff. Anywho, Ace, let's talk about a number of things. What do you want to do? You want to start this week with a little over-under? Do you want to try a new segment that I'm calling Win, Play, Show? Mm-hmm. Do you want to do a little upon further review? What's your pleasure?
Let's do Win, Play, Show, your new segment.
All right, let's start here. You heard last week, it was sad on a terrible day in general for the U.S. of A. Tom Petty passed away. So let's tackle this. I heard Howard Stern talking about Tom Petty versus Bruce Springsteen. Let's expand it to three names, and you give me them in your order. Win, play, show. Tom Petty, Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan.
Well, I was thinking to myself the other night as I was driving to Irvine, I thought to myself, I was thinking about the Traveling Wilburys. I was thinking Tom Petty gone, George Harrison gone, Roy Orbison gone. Now that just leaves Jeff Lynne, who I love, and Bob Dylan, who I hate. And if God Almighty takes Jeff Lynne before Bob Dylan, I will know there is no God. It sounds ironic, but there's a group of five people. Forget about a band. Let's just say it's five guys I love, except for one of them I cannot stand. And after 25 years, four are in the ground, and the one guy left standing is the one guy I hate. That would let me know. That would signal me there is
Or
no
does
God.
That make you basically the Antichrist in a way, because God has chosen to remove one by one your choices? It's a weird thing, you know? That makes you basically at exact odds with who's ever making the decision on who gets to live and who gets to who has to go.
And he's kind of doing it in order, too.
Yeah, right.
I love George Harrison. He was the first to go. The point, and then I think that Roy was second. I do believe Roy was second.
I think that's correct.
And then, of course, now third, Tom Petty. So now there's just the two men left standing. I'm not sure Bob Dylan can stand. You know, by the way, let me say something. When you go out and perform like Bob Dylan did like 4 or 5 years ago in the Grammys, and you have a wall of banjos behind you, like 700 guys playing the banjos simultaneously, that is the sonic equivalent to the aging porn star who wears the corset. Like, she lets the bosom hang out. She lets the vagine show, but she keeps the corset on because we know there's a bevy of stretch marks and C-sections. You know what I mean? The young, nubile 21-year-olds, they are buck naked. There's no corset in the middle. If you watch the aging stars, you'll see the corset. The wall of banjos is the corset. It's the sonic corset.
Fascinating. Yeah, fascinating analysis there. But, I'm with you on Bob Dylan to this extent. I love Blood on the Tracks. And by the way, I guess it's a late 20th century record. Time Out of Mind is a gem. I once drove through the desert from El Paso through to stop somewhere in Arizona in the middle of nowhere. It was one of those roadways. It's that southern route, that you can take. And it's one of those ones that if your alignment in your cars is okay, you could fall asleep and wake up 10 hours later and you'd still be right on track. I once in the middle of the day listened to Time Out of Mind going through the desert, and it was as though that record was made for that particular drive, which is a great thing when you connect like that. That being said, if you said you can either listen to Tom Petty for the rest of your life, never Bob Dylan again, or vice versa, it would be Tom Petty for me, and I would not have to think very long about it.
Well, Bob Dylan's tough because you got to go, would you ever want to listen to Bob Dylan again? The answer is no, but what about Bob Dylan written songs?
Ah!
Because he's written a lot of songs that a lot of other people have done that you may enjoy. I always think about the ironic, he ain't going to work on Maggie's Farm no more, which he repeats like 728 times. Could there possibly be a worse farmhand than Bob Dylan? Like, first off, Bob, what's the schedule? I come down about noon and I smoke. Yeah, we start at 5 a.m. Well, these are brand new boots. We don't work in dress boots. We have work boots. I wear tight jeans. I wear sunglasses. We're baling hay. We're in the barn. We're fixing equipment. Like, could you imagine?
He is a Halloween version of a manual worker. You're exactly right. He's costumed as though he's ready to go and do the manual labor. But of course, that's awesome.
But the day that Bob told Maggie, I'm going to tenure my resignation. Like, I will not work on your farm anymore. You know who was secretly the happiest person on the planet? Maggie.
Bob, don't go. Please, stay ahead.
All right. Don't forget your picks.
Yeah, he could certainly, Bob Dylan could certainly bale some hay, though, for you, right? He could. He certainly looks sturdy enough to...
I could not imagine a worse farm hand than Bob Dylan.
That's great. All right, so put them in order for me. Win, play, show. Dylan, of course, you'd rather him not show at all, not unlike Maggie at the farm. So Dylan's your three. Who's your number two, Springsteen or Petty? It's going to hurt your marriage, potentially. Consider it carefully.
Springsteen, I was giving a lot of thought to as I was sleeping last night. I was thinking about this because Lynette's going out to see a show on Broadway, and I got his rundown of his playlist, and Born in the USA is like right in the middle of the set list, and it's a horrible, embarrassingly
bad song.
Why would
he ever play
song?
That song?
Well, I was thinking
it really is his worst song.
This is what I was thinking about as I was sort of tussling, you know, that those moments right before you wake up, where you're sort of half asleep. Now, and I thought to myself, a lot of dumb people like that song; they want to hear it. It's not a bad, like, I get the message. It's not just a bad, you know, when John Cougar or John Cougar Mellencamp goes off the rails and starts writing horrible songs, his songs are fucking horrible. Bruce's songs at least have some sort of message about Vietnam, but they're still horrible. But at least the message, like, the thought was there for Born in the USA. But as I was thinking about it, it's like you have 128 songs to choose from. You're going to do a 15-song set on your Broadway show. Why are you picking a song that's bad? And then better, here's a bigger, the bigger question. I'm not a musician. I know it's bad. You're a great musician. Do you not know it's bad? And I'll go deeper. This is my... you know, Hall & Oates writes Sarah Smile and then Rich Girl, and then they write I Can't Go For That. And doesn't somebody in the band, somebody, Hall or Oates, who are both talented musicians, go, hey, this is horrible.
Like R.E.M., another one. Great songs, but they also have shiny, happy people.
Yeah, but they wrote that song ironically.
Yeah.
If you're doing it ironically, it's fine.
That's like Pink Houses for Mellencamp is intended to be a dig at the U.S. of A., not supportive, and people misconstrue it. But anyway.
Well, don't look at me to defend R.E.M. or Radiohead or anybody, any of the hipster bands. I never want to defend R.E.M., but they did that song as a goof on pop songs.
Right.
Which then, now you get a pass. I don't know. But then sometimes when people do a goof, it's like Ben Stiller. He's always goofing on some kind of gym owner or bodybuilder or model, but his shirt is always off in every movie, and he's jacked, you know? So is he really goofing on those guys, or does he just want to take his shirt off?
It's a conundrum.
I argue that Ben Stiller has a body dysmorphic disorder, and the shirt is off. All his movies are like, he's totally ripped, and his shirt is off, but he's goofing on the guy whose shirt is off.
Bald and I love to talk about those actor redundancies, like Tom Cruise runs in every single movie he's ever in. He clearly works that into the director.
Like, he rides a motorcycle.
I look pretty good when I run, man.
He makes movies that take place 3,000 years from now on another planet, and he's on a bike. He's on a motorcycle. It's a super galactic bike, but he's still riding a motorcycle from the future.
I never thought of that. Also, John Travolta somehow works in dancing into every movie. He has to do a little bit of boogie in somewhere. And you're right. I never thought of Ben Stiller likes to get that shirt off just to remind the ladies.
Right. I'd like to do a period movie like a Western with Tom Cruise in it. He never does. He doesn't do Westerns because they haven't invented the motorcycle, but I could see he's probably pitching scenes like where he pushes a thing into the saloon and goes, I call it a motorcycle. I've invented the thing called a motorcycle. And then he gets to ride the motorcycle. He'll never do a movie where he can't ride a motorcycle.
Maybe it sounds like Tom Cruise. It's about time to remake Time Cop. Okay. Move over, Van Damme. All right. I love where we're at. I love this win play show.
1998.
Oh, action hero win play show.
All right.
Oh, that's going to be great. We'll do all of it.
All right. I'm going to say I got Bob at the bottom.
Okay.
Tom Petty.
You're going to do it, aren't you? Just so you don't have conflict at home.
I don't love Petty as much as everyone else loves Petty. I realize he's very well produced, and his songs are melodically like strong, and they push.
Wildflowers, the album, is a beautiful, one of the great all-time underrated records,
he's at least of our lives. Smart. When you write a song like I Won't Back Down, it's great because everyone's such a narcissist that they go, hey, this is my, this song's about, this song, you know, it's like Alice Cooper. He's the only guy who wrote a song called School's Out for Summer. And now everyone, every June, you turn on the radio, School's Out. It's smart, right?
We need to make a song about bacon wrapped whatever. People will love it. Just like being like, Ace is singing to me when he talks about putting bacon on stuff.
Here's the name of the song. 'Cause I got a wide dick. And everyone goes, hey, this is my song. 'Cause I got a wide dick. This is me. Yeah, that's for
me.
And
then just announce, if you don't have a wide one, this song is not for you. Then every guy is going to have to download. I got it on my cell phone, man. I'm allowed. I got it on my iTunes. All right, listen, dynamite stuff, a good start to the week. Good sports coming at you all week long on the Adam Carolla Show. Back with more tomorrow. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports Podcast, One Sports out. Good sports.
Hi there, my name is Susie Schuster.
And I'm Rich Eisen.
We're teaming up once again in the studio with our new podcast, Not Just Sports, with Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen.
So we're sportscasters and we're parents, so we're just going to be hanging out, talking sports and other stuff.
And I will try to educate you on all things in the NFL, because of course, behind every great man is a greater woman.
That's correct.
There you go.
Join us every Wednesday exclusively on Podcast One Sports.
Subscribe today if you know it's good for you on Apple Podcasts or at podcast1.com or download it on the new Podcast One app.
Frank DeMartini is in studio. He's going to be running up against one of my least favorite, Maxine Waters, coming up. God, do I hate her so much. And this isn't a new thing, everyone. I told everyone when I did Politically Incorrect 20 years ago, I was backstage with her, and I was telling her about the morning after pill, and she just completely blew me off. And she told me the science wasn't in yet. I was like, it's in. I work next to Dr. Drew, and she's like, beat it, son. And I was like, she's a crazy person. I thought she's an insane person. This is 20 years ago.
She doesn't listen to anything anybody says at all. All she does is talk about impeach Trump. That's her life now.
It's so weird because her constituency could definitely use some help. And she just travels the globe saying we're going to get Trump out of there. And it's like, it's kind of like your house is falling apart and you're just in another city and you're screaming, we're going to get rid of that roller coaster. And it's like, I don't know. Why don't you go home and work on your house? Like,
well, she can't work on her house. She doesn't live in the district.
All right. She lives in Hancock Park at a $4 million house. It's so insane. And the kids love her now. And
she's like a folk hero.
It's a weird thing. Like, she doesn't do anything but live in a $4 million house and scream that Trump's got to be impeached. And she's turned into, it's funny because I labeled her Aunt Esther a million years ago because she seems like the crazy Aunt Esther from Sanford and Son, and now she's Auntie Maxine.
Yeah, but there was a big difference. Aunt Esther was funny. Maxine is not funny. Aunt Esther was the highlight of Sanford and Son. I mean, with the Bible thumping and the screaming and the yelling.
I loved her. So you're a producer by trade.
I started out as a lawyer, but yeah, I've been a producer for 20 years now.
I was just watching one of your movies, the Statham in The Mechanic.
Yeah.
Going up under the pool, the glass pool.
Yeah, we shot that whole movie in Thailand.
Really?
Everything was in Thailand except for some establishing shots of Sydney and Rio.
Why Thailand?
Cheaper.
Stupid question. And there's other little secret one. The other little quiet little story is like cheaper, and Oliver Stone wants to get laid. Like there's a little bit of that probably in Thailand as well.
In this case, it was a little different because Jason was there with his girlfriend the whole time, so those issues didn't come up at all.
You don't bring sand to the beach, dude. It's the only time I say dude. So when did you? So I've always known Maxine Waters was an insane person who did nothing. But when did you decide to run against her?
about 6 months ago, I had gotten to the point where I was totally fed up with everything that was going on in Washington. And she's Washington. She's Washington elite. She's a Washington insider. She doesn't know anything about her district anymore. In fact, her district has completely changed from when she first got elected 25 years ago. And, you know, the more upset I got, the more mad I got. And the way they're treating the president, whether you agree with him or disagreeing with him, they're treating him like crap. And it's time, you know, we had a change. And she's like the prime enemy number one, in my opinion. And someone's got to go after her. Someone's got to take her out.
I don't know. And I'm not, we're not in her district, but I am curious. So what I do is I drive and I seethe, you know, whereas Dom Toretto goes to the desert to let free up his mind. I just drive down the 5 freeway and I get outraged. I drove from where we are to a buddy of mine, Bodie Stroud, has a hot rod shop, and it's like Sun Valley. So I just got on the 5 freeway and went north. And I look to my right, and all I see is, and we'll show you some clips of it, although this is a horrible example of what I'm talking about. Please take pictures of the trash. Okay, there's the tent city. There's tent city. There's trash. There's trash everywhere. Everywhere there's garbage. Everywhere there's garbage, or there's just a dead tree or weed or something. Dirt, garbage, dead trees, weeds everywhere, graffiti everywhere, trash everywhere. Where are we living, and what the fuck is going on? And if I'm paying taxes, why is there garbage everywhere? I'll show you pictures.
Adam, I shot 3 movies in India. That looks like India.
It looks like India, right?
And so does downtown LA now.
I'll show you
the street.
It looks
just like Mumbai. It looks just like Delhi.
The street right behind this warehouse that runs along the side of the freeway. Gary's got just trash. Just mattresses. Mattresses, garbage, trash, dead everything, everywhere. Who's in charge? Whose district is this? What goes on? Why is there fucking garbage everywhere? Does the person who's in the Glendale, Burbank, Sunland area, does he or she drive the freeways? Do they look to the right and look to the left? You go to Phoenix, you go to Seattle, you go to Portland, you go everywhere. It doesn't look like this. What the fuck is going on with our city? Why is it a trash bin? Who's in charge? Why can't anyone clean anything up?
Look who's been controlling the city for the last 25
years. Jesus goddamn this Christ. It's a garbage pit.
It's not only a garbage pit, it's becoming a typical Democratic city. You're looking at Baltimore, you're looking at Chicago, you're looking at San Francisco. They all look like this.
This is what we've become. San Francisco, but what?
No, have you been the
yesterday
to Union Square lately with all the tent cities?
No, oh yeah, it
looks like
yes,
this.
Yes, it's just turning into some sort of Mad Max Thunderdome sort of scorched earth. I mean, look, the pictures don't really. Oh, they kind of do it justice, but you got to be in your car driving out there just to see all the garbage, all the dirt, all the everything, and it's just all along the freeway. Now, the good news is the freeway is so fucked up, your head's bouncing around so much because the stretch of freeway on that 5 has become a disaster.
Well, that's all infrastructure. That's what President Trump wants to take care of. President Trump wants to spend money in infrastructure, and he can't get anybody to give him the time of day.
What's the difference? What's Orange County doing that we could do? Because I drive from this shithole to Irvine once a month to do a show, and you know the second you get into Orange County, and it's not because there's a sign that says you're entering Orange County, the freeways get smooth,
well,
things open up, things are clean, there's no garbage anymore, there's no graffiti anymore, there's no anything. It's like, oh, I guess we're in Orange County now.
Orange County had a bad tent city problem near where I live, and they just shut it down. They just voted to go in there and open up a bunch of temporary homeless, you know, services, and they just basically bulldozed the tent city.
It started where I live on the west side, too, around Culver City and around by Sony Studios, and it was all gone within a matter of days. So for some reason, the city of Los Angeles doesn't care.
It's weird, and again, like, I don't know who's in charge of Glendale or Burbank or Sun Valley or Sunland or whatever, but do they not commute? Like, if this is your land, right, like, this is your district, and you jump on the freeway, and every time you jump on the freeway, it's just a pile of dirt. First off, there's, like, no landscaping at all. It's just weeds and dirt and trash. And the reason the back of this goddamn street is filled with mattresses and garbage and construction materials and stuff is because it costs money to go to the dump, and they won't pick it up if you put it out on the curb. So guys do construction, and then at night they come over here and they just dump it, which is fine. But then who's going to clean it up? And then as a guy who owns three warehouses in this area, what the fuck am I paying taxes for?
Oh,
like, can I just
government.
Not pay taxes?
If you do that, you go to jail like Wesley Snipes.
Can I? Is
for
there
3 years.
Is there a case to be made where I go, I am paying a lot of money and you guys are not keeping up your end of the bargain? There's garbage everywhere.
Yeah, of course.
Well, then they're going to say they need more money because the money that you give them isn't enough.
Right. It's so sad.
Of course there's a case to be made, but you're talking
because
about
the money's being wasted on union pensions. I mean, I could go on forever if you want to talk about where the money's going. But you also have to separate the city government from the federal government. The city of government's a whole different issue. And all this garbage has nothing to do with what's going on in Washington. What's going on in Washington is defense, Medicare,
right.
Medicaid.
I'm talking about paying the city taxes.
The city taxes are a joke. I mean, this city is becoming a dump.
It is.
I mean,
it's depressing.
Have you been recently down by downtown by the courts?
I try not to. I got to tell you that because of Waze, and I'm going to – there should be a class action lawsuit for all Los Angelinos against Waze because I'm clinically depressed now. I used to sit on the freeway and go, I wonder if there's Dodgers are having a home game. Now Waze kicks me off the freeway. I drive down through Vin Scully's living room, and I turn right, and I run into a homeless encampment, and then I pass by another homeless encampment, and then I pass by another homeless encampment, and I'm like, wait, we're not even in downtown. This ain't Tent City. This is way outside of downtown.
There's also two downtowns now. There's the downtown that everybody wants to promote down by LA Live and down by the Staples Center. And then there's downtown about 10 blocks east of there where you feel like you're in Mumbai.
Well, I know Garcetti's going to handle this in a matter of minutes, right? Because he says his number one concern is the homeless.
He's running for governor. He doesn't care about LA anymore. He's going to be the next governor of LA, of California.
What about Gavin Newsom?
Is he any better?
No, he's horrible. He's an idiot. He sat and lied for 40 minutes about nothing.
Okay, so now we can talk about Prop 14 and why there aren't any Republican choices anymore.
Yeah, also, you know what I never get about people? If you're in Maxine Waters' district, she's done nothing for you for 40 years. At some point, do you just go, I'll flip a coin or I'll take somebody else?
Actually, she does do a lot down there. She goes to town halls and she says the Republicans are going to take the projects away. This is her whole mentality. She'll go to a town hall in one of the lower class neighborhoods in her district and she'll say the Republicans are going to take the projects away. They're going to stop public housing. I'm going to build more projects for you.
Right.
Instead of making people incentivized to become self-sufficient and become better.
I know. We kill people. We're killing everybody with the free whatever. Look, everyone's like, Adam, well, why are you being so harsh on these people? You know, with the make your kid his breakfast, take care of yourself, take care of your family. What are you being such a hater for? It's like, I'm not a hater. I experienced this. I lived with a mother who received welfare and food stamps. We lived in a flop house that was her mom's second house that she bought for $10,000 in North Hollywood. And I watched my mom rot. That's it. She didn't have to work. She didn't have to pay her mortgage. She didn't have to get dressed in the morning. And she stopped real fast. And that's what people do.
Yeah.
The same person can be motivated to go out and do it. And it's like saying, it's like a football coach is saying, come on, do your push-ups. Oh, why are you being a hater? And I'm trying to strengthen the kid so he can go out there and compete. This doesn't work. It doesn't work to give people free shit. Go look at it. How many years of not working do we need?
I'm sure my parents could have qualified for all that stuff too, but they were brought up during the Depression in the 30s, and their parents told them, you go out and you get a job. You don't take handouts from the government. And we survived. My father was a blue-collar worker. In fact, my father built the lunar modules. He didn't design them. He built them. He was the guy there with the hammer and the nail and the solder iron building them at Grumman.
I don't think they used nails, but go ahead. Maybe back then.
Actually, you know a lot more about that than me, but I don't know.
They'd have to be ring-shanked for sure. There couldn't be sinkers.
I heard Duvall said he used nails in the clip, so I'm pretty sure they did.
But when the Apollo program ended, my father was in his late 50s, early 60s, and he got laid off like everybody else at Grumman, and no one was going to hire him. He ended up cleaning toilets in department stores.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the I love my nanny, Olga, so much. I call her my nanny. She's my kid's nanny. She's from Guatemala. She was a single mom. And I'll never forget when we're standing in the kitchen. She has a daughter who's now an adult. But she said, like, when my daughter was young, you know, everyone else would tell me, you know, you can get assistance. Like, you can get someone to bring you food or pay for your daughter's lunch or breakfast or whatever. And she said, I don't want that. I'm her mom. It's up to me. You know, I got to do it. I want to do it. I'll get up a little earlier, work a little harder, whatever it is. And that woman will never be out of a job. And she's got pride. She's got dignity. She has
dignity. Bingo, bingo. The word is pride and dignity.
Right.
That's it in a nutshell. I mean, sure, these programs were all put in place for everybody needs help once in a while. There's, you know, issues, you know, unemployment is there. You even might need food stamps or welfare. But you cut it off the way Clinton did. And I'm not a Democrat, but Clinton did the right thing in 95, 96 when Newt Gingrich forced them to. Now it's gone back to the way it was in the Johnson era where just give everybody everything they want, including a cell phone. And the poor in this country have two cars, cable TV, and cell phones.
Well, what I don't get is statistically, it doesn't work. It just doesn't. If you go, we have a family of bears over here, and then we have a family of bears over here, and this family of bears have to go out and forage for their food and go make their dinner every night. This family, we have a dumpster, and we just open the lid, and we let them go into it. How's it working? Like, how's it working? How's their body fat doing? How's the family structure doing? How's all the good things you want for a bear instead of going out to the stream and getting a salmon? We'll just go to the dumpster. You're How is it
make,
working?
They're not getting, they'll be extinct.
But they're not getting the dumpster. They're getting the salmon for free.
Either way, how's it work? How's it working to provide this for free for this bear family? I don't think it's working.
It's not.
So why don't we just know that and then move in a direction that aids it? I don't get it.
Because for the last 8 years, we had a man in the White House that felt that was his job.
Well, what? Yes, Gina.
Well, I'm wondering, I read books like Angela's Ashes, which isn't even from this country. You know, that's a story of an Irish family. Or Push, which is, you know, the book Precious was based on, which is here. The things that I've always found in common in those stories, no matter where they are, is generationally, you have a parent, you know, in that situation who's been, you know, taking government handouts or whatever, being taken care of by the government or by the church. And then the kid tries to break out of that and they say, well, you think you're better than your mother? You think you're better than your parents, that you can do this on your own? So what is it? What is that cycle that people are doing themselves?
The cycle, I can tell you the cycle. The cycle is, you know, when I was 10 and I said to my mom, why don't you just get a job? We could have a car, a nice car, or some nice clothes or something. And she said, I get a job, I'll lose my welfare. Like, she was schooling me, like, hey, stupid, I'm going to coach you up. And then that cycle, it's two things. You lose all your muscle mass. You lose all your ability physically and mentally to, like, get up and go get some. Make hay while the sun shines. Like, all the stuff you want out of America, you atrophy. It's like an old person slipped in the bathroom, broke his hip. Now he's bedridden. Like, you lose it quick. You hate the government, by the way. Just like you hate your stepdad who's leasing you the car, but says, hey, the rules are you got to go clean it or whatever. The government has no rules. But the way you resent the government, but you really resent yourself. But the government has got you in this sort of loathsome sort of mentality. And then you start poisoning your kids. You start saying to your kids, hey, look, you, it's all who you know. You don't even, why even try? It's stacked against you. It's rigged. And now you poison your kid because your kid's going, why should I leave the house? It's rigged.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happens. At some point, the jealousy kicks in against the people living in Beverly Hills and the people living in Santa Monica. And they become part of the problem, and you're stuck in your little hole wherever it might be, whether it's in Watts or in Van Nuys, and you're looking at it all and saying, these people have everything, and I'm entitled to whatever I can get, so I'm going to get it for free.
Yeah, and then they start throwing around like, well, it's rich whitey, like,
and
white privilege
pay.
And rich, and let them pay, because they were born under a golden star, you know? It's like, God damn it. Now you're poisoning the next group, and then also, because I grew up in it, I know firsthand, there is no concept of, there's no discussion of the stock market, putting away money, being responsible, savings accounts. There's no lessons in, because my mom waits for a government check, right? Mm-hmm. So she doesn't know that you take a little bit, you get your paycheck every week, you put aside, you put 10% aside, you put in a rainy day account. You don't have any of those discussions. You sit around and watch Billy Jack and talk about how horrible the government is. That's what you do all fucking day. And so the kids then get thrown out of the house, and they're not going to college. They're not doing anything. They just get pushed out, and they go, what do I do?
And they end up in gangs.
Yeah, or
they end up either as a Blood or a Crip or MS-13.
Yeah, that's what I did. I was MS-13. So, by the grace of God, my grandmother had a pile of shit in North Hollywood, and we just flopped there. If she had one in Maxine Waters' district, then I'd be an MS-13. But we just sat there. And I had enough sort of normal kids around me, like, you know, Jewish kids from up in the hills, where I was like, what's up with your parents still being married in the station wagon and everything? And they're like, well, that's what we do. And I'm like, so what do you do after school? Homework? How's that work? My mom makes me a meal. Your mom does what? How's this work? And then I'd go sleep over at their house. I remember once being blown away. The young daughter was into gymnastics, and they had a balance beam, but it was like 4 inches off the ground. It was in the living room. I'm like, oh, Kelly practices on the...
Where'd you steal that from?
Was your dad? How come your dad's not screaming at your mom? Like, oh, we're going to ski. And then I'd see pictures of them on skiing vacations. Oh. I'm like, how does this Photoshop? You know, like, no, we went skiing last winter. Like, how does that work? But I got, at least I got to see it. And when I got to see it, I went, you know what? I don't think we're doing it right. I think they're doing it right. They're staying together. They're focusing on family and education. They're saving money. He's got a job, blah, blah, blah. And I remember just thinking, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to do this. But if I never had those other examples, I don't know.
No, that's almost exactly my background. I came from a neighborhood that was kind of a split between lower middle class and upper middle class. And in my high school, it was one third Italian, one third Jewish, one third Irish. That was typical Long Island, New York in the 1960s, 1970s. And the Italian and the Irish were the poors. And like you just said, the Jews were the rich. And we saw what they had. And we were like, okay, this is the right thing. This is do what they do.
The Jews, it's such a simple equation, which is family and education. That's and Jewing people down, you know, not paying a fair price. But those three things, those are the all.
Two and a half things.
It was mostly family and education.
That's all I saw. It's like your family, your parents are still together. Your family's make sure the kid does homework. The kid went off to Stanford and Cal, and we went off to a construction site.
And when we were growing up, we didn't know there was a difference between the three of us. We were all exactly the same. It took me till I was in high school that I even knew that the Jewish religion was different from the Catholic religion. We were just all one person.
So what is I'll tease this question. So now the problem is how are you going to run against Maxine Waters and not be called a hate merchant, a bigot, a racist? Like, I mean, they have you can't disagree. If you tell Maxine Waters we're out of Thousand Island dressing at a restaurant, she'll call you a bigot.
I'm waiting for it. I can't. It's like I dream every night about when she does that the first time. I've got a response planned for her, and I don't want to say it here yet. But, you know, at some point, you know, that's garbage. It's done. Enough. Talk about how you're going to help these people and stop talking about whether I'm black, Jewish, gay, what am I missing? Mexican?
Well, how?
All that's all things. It is. That, it's all the Democratic Party has come down to identity politics. They don't have any ideas anymore. The Democratic Party of John Kennedy and of Franklin Roosevelt is gone. Now it's about which minority group can we try to milk some votes out of. And that's all they're doing.
It drives me insane. Never get why the group thinks it's going to help. I'll tell you the group that cares the least about being represented, the Asians and the Jews. They have no interest in being represented, underrepresented, you know, needs to reflect the community. They don't give a fuck what color the fire chief or the police chief is. They don't give a fuck about any of that. They're too busy working and kicking everyone's ass. The groups that care the most about who's proper representation, like this person needs to look like me, do the worst. And the people who care the least do the best. So using that scale, why doesn't everyone just go, fuck it, let's get to work? I don't get the part where it's like, they got to look like me. They got to represent me. I want this. It drives me nuts. I go, I want the fire department to represent the community. It's like, who cares? West Hollywood, they got to be gay? I've seen the calendars. Huh. Here they are.
You're on a
say, like, you're a gay couple and your house is on fire. Don't you just want the best firemen coming in there?
Best shirtless fireman coming in there, kicking down your door, carrying you out.
Freshly shaved and groomed and
greased up.
Greased
manscaped.
Up with the Rock's arm butter.
That's right.
It's okay. And when you say that, it's a racist statement.
Oh, we could take it into our industry, too. Have you recently seen the SAG and the studios and the networks? It's all about diversity and casting. They want you to cast black people and Mexican people in roles that were written for white people. Yeah. And if you don't, I mean, just take a look at the shows on the networks now. Every show has got the gay couple, the black couple, the white couple, and the Mexican couple.
Well, I remember when I was doing a sitcom for like NBC, and they were like, she was explaining how some cop show from 2 years ago made a huge mistake. Like you get the diversity person that has to come in your writer's room and explain to you how diversity, explain to a bunch of 40-year-old dudes how diversity works. And then they explain that, I remember she was saying the show Cop Boulevard or whatever it was 2 seasons ago, they had characters, like the guy named Mike Martinez or Jerry, I was going to say Garcia, Lenny Garcia or something. But they made a big mistake. They kept calling him Mike and Lenny. They didn't say
Martinez
and whatever. They screwed up. And I was like, really? They can't just make a TV show where a cop gets to call another cop by his first name? Oh, they screwed up big time. It's like, really? And by the way, who did your job 10 years ago and were shows okay back then?
Every time I'm casting anything or any movie, TV show, well, I've never done TV except TV movies, but anything I've ever cast, we always want to cast the best person for the part.
Ooh, Adam, but now, portrait of a podcaster. Yeah. That's going to be your first after-school special.
Lifetime.
Lifetime.
But now we're being told you've got to put diversity in everything you do. In fact, I mean, I could tell you how far it's gone. You've got to have a Chinese person in every movie now because you got to sell the Chinese market.
Sell China. Yeah, my feeling.
And China is the whole industry now.
My feeling is I just want the best white guy for the job. That's all. Just the best white
guy. I just want the best guy for the job.
Just the best redheaded. Just the best blue or green eyed.
Mayflower.
I just want the best guy
ginger,
for the
just
job.
The best
I'll take dirty blonde.
Straight, redheaded, blue eyed male for the job. That's all I want. That's all I want. He'll put out sexually for me. All right. Let me tell you guys about the Onnit. Oh, we had Vinny in here, man, talking about the amazing supplements. Alpha Brain, Buffalo Meat, Warrior Bars. Do not kid yourself with these nutrition bars or these protein bars. The only one that Vinny will sign off on are ones like the Buffalo Meat Warrior Bars. There is no peanut butter and chocolate with the caramel drizzle. No, doesn't exist. Sorry. No free lunches. They got the MCT oil. You got the Onnit CEO, Aubrey Marcus, came in here, did a take a knee. We talked for a little while. Had a very interesting chat. I'll play a little clip of that.
You know, I had an experience. It was about the 10th time where ayahuasca took me down this path where it was like, you know what? Not only you're going to die, it's that you never mattered. It's like, mm-hmm. You're nothing. You're the gum on nothing's shoe. You're water borrowed from the ocean and the ocean forgot. You're completely worthless. And so I had to surrender. Like, even in my death, I had some idea like, well, I lived well. I'll leave a legacy. Some people will remember me. I was like, nah, bitch, you're nothing.
So they filmed the whole thing, and you can find the entire podcast and behind the scenes and a little mini doc at onnit.com/Adam. That's onnit.com/Adam. It's onnit.com/Adam. Check that out and watch the free take a knee. All right. All right. Let's do a little bit of news. Shall we do that, Frank?
Yeah.
Hang out?
Let's do it.
Sure.
All right.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Break. Viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The News with Gina Grad.
We'll do a little bit of a deeper dive into this Harvey Weinstein thing. Lisa Bloom says she will no longer serve as an advisor to Harvey Weinstein, who's been accused of sexual harassment, according to E! Online. Many people were shocked when Bloom, who, as you probably know, is Gloria Allred's daughter, announced she was serving as Harvey's advisor after the New York Times published a report that the 65-year-old producer was the target of sexual harassment complaints.
Hey, as far as Lisa Bloom goes, can we stop doing this super easy math? She's Gloria Allred's daughter. She looks just like her, but younger. Yeah, that's how that's mostly how it works. You have a kid when you're 33, chances are forever. That kid's never going to pass you. There's always going to be younger, and it's always going to be the amount plus 9 months that you can see.
Yeah.
Right.
So can we stop doing that math?
It's like her, but younger.
Yeah, I mean, the person whose loins she sprung from 30 years after that person was born? It's a weird, I get it.
It's
she
a dumb
looks, she kind of looks like her, but younger. But let's stop saying that out loud.
You often ask, who is that person? Who is the person that likes to articulate the thing that we're all just sort of understanding without saying?
Exactly.
Like,
that's my favorite
she
part.
She looks like a younger version of her mother.
That's my favorite part of the guy the beard. The guy I'm most jealous of, it's a bearded guy that's a Chevy commercials. Mm-hmm. He comes out, he's got his clipboard, he's like, guess how many JD Power words? And the person goes, the car's moving!
Oh my God, there's more cars!
There's more! There's another one. Like, yeah, you're saying you don't have to. It's right up there with the person that's been asked to leave the plane 28 times or they're going to be forced. And then they get them in a headlock and they go, what's happening?
What?
What's happening? Yeah. You just stepped out of your shower and a fully uniformed guard got you to a headlock. What's happening? You're on a flight.
There's a struggle ensuing.
We're told. I'd be wildly surprised if this didn't happen at this point. But go ahead. Sorry.
Well, as of Saturday.
I'm envious of these people, by the way. I want to be one of these people.
As of Saturday, she's resigning from advising Weinstein. The New York Times said that Harvey reached 8 settlements with women who made alleged allegations of past sexual harassment and unwanted physical contact. One of the 8 women was Ashley Judd, who, according to the New York Times, said 2 decades ago, Weinstein invited Ashley to the Peninsula Beverly Hills Hotel for what the young actress expected to be a business breakfast meeting.
So I had my tofu noodles.
Instead, of course, it was.
Isn't Ashley Judd one of the people that was saying she was a nasty woman in January
She's
in Washington, D.C.?
This incident may have driven her over the edge.
Right.
She's clearly insane at
one
this
plus
point.
One.
I saw her at the Trump rally. She is completely jumped the shark mentally. So maybe this is what caused it.
Yeah. Well, instead, he sent her up to his room where he appeared in a bathrobe and asked if he could give her a massage or she could watch him shower. Another report came out. A local Fox reporter, Lauren Sivan, said that she was trapped in a Cuban restaurant with Weinstein a decade ago where he proceeded cornered, where he proceeded to...
More plantains!
El Cubano!
Arroz con pollo! All right. She's trapped.
He proceeded to masturbate into a potted plant in front of her.
Wow. I didn't see that coming.
I was trying to get it out. In an initial statement, Harvey said, yes.
Wow. Brazen.
He said, quote, I appreciate the way I've behaved with colleagues in the past has caused a lot of pain, and I sincerely apologize for it. I've brought on therapists, and I plan to take a leave of absence from my company and deal with this issue head on.
Deal with it.
No
head
pun
on.
Intended.
He better get a dude therapist because if it's a hot chick, he's going right back in.
Yeah. Hide all the potted plants.
All right, let me tell you about True Car, man. True Car can help you buy new, can help you buy used. They have over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So whatever you're looking for. You go new, you go used, you do what our own Chris Max Pata did over here. He bought a used car, but it had 200 miles on it. So it's a Prius. It was like brand new, but technically used. But whatever you want and everything in between, you can get at True Car. You see what other people paid for the exact same car you're looking for. You find the fair price and you lock it in. I don't think anyone's ever looking for a free car. We just don't want to find out that we paid too much for it. And this is how you find out in advance. So when you're ready to buy new or used, you go to True Car And you lock in your price, you get your certificate, you go to your certified dealer, and you pick up your wheels. Super easy. It's TrueCar. Some features not available in all states. All right, let's do one more.
All right. Well, just weeks after James Woods says he was blacklisted in Hollywood because of his conservative views, he says he's retiring from the industry altogether, according to Fox News. Woods was a Hollywood favorite and a Democrat until at least 1998 when he broke ranks with the party after former President Bill Clinton's impeachment.
The best thing ever did was follow him on Twitter.
It is fun.
I tell you, I woke up a week ago, and first, I don't know how Twitter works. It's just somehow when I wake up and turn on the computer, sometimes random people are there, and I just saw James Woods, and I just clicked on it, and it was the best move I ever made in my life.
It's a lot.
Paying dividends.
Yep. Now, he hasn't had a major role in a film in at least a decade. The news of his retirement was included in a press release, kind of weird, issued by Woods' real estate agent, offering Woods' Rhode Island lake house for sale. And I don't know that we ever got into this, but when you talk about how what a laugh riot it is to follow James Woods, you saw the back and forth with Amber Tamblyn, I assume.
Is that the dude from Transparent?
No. Yeah, no. Almost. This is he sort of pointed out that some it's actor not. Was dating someone, I don't know, maybe 10 years younger or whatever. And then Amber Tamblyn, who was, remember, Joan of Arcadia, and who's now married to David Cross. She's an actress.
Uh-huh.
She recalled a story about how James Woods hit on her when she was a young teenager outside of Mel's Diner and tried to take her to Vegas.
There's a real glass houses situation going on. With James.
Yeah, so he's pointing a lot of fingers. Yeah,
that actually sounds a little bit like Harvey Weinstein, too.
Yeah?
These are not great people.
I mean, I don't know how many you know the story about him and Sean Young.
Oh, let's hear it.
Oh, this was big news like 20 years ago. They did a movie together, I think, called The Boost, and at some point... Sean Young, I don't even know how to say this, but
potted plant.
She kind of glued his thing to his leg with super glue.
Fun.
While he was married.
How did she do that?
I guess he was sleeping.
Oh, yeah. So she broke into his house.
Oh, no, no.
She was his wife waking up.
She was sleeping with him at the time.
I did the math on that. Because he has a dog who would bark.
And then after that, she left a voodoo doll on his placemat at his door because she was mad at him, obviously, because he was still with his wife.
Well, first off, can this scenario, can this math go any other way? You know, Sean Young, Ashley Judd, if you'd look at these people when they were 23 years old, there were visions.
Of course.
I mean, we're animals. We're wired. I mean, that's it. These visions come walking into your hotel room or your office or whatever, and then you're just dripping with power. Mm-hmm. So you're, 62 years old and look horrible in the robe, but you are juiced with power. These nubile visions come in. Is there any other way this is going to go?
Yeah, and I don't know at what point in her breakdown this happened, at what, like, beginning and middle, but Sean Young notoriously has mental illness.
We can establish a pattern where Weinstein is driving them all insane.
Oh, he's a common denominator.
Was he with Maxine Waters?
Well, no, Maxine's gotten and has a lot longer than Sean.
There's an easy. I bet we could find pictures with Maxine Waters.
And a young
arm
slam
around
Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein. Well, maybe he's got some kind of crazy juice in his Johnson.
There's a lot of pictures of him with Hillary Clinton and with a whole lot of people.
He's close
in
to Tarantino.
Politics, so maybe there is one with Maxine.
But Tarantino's insane.
I mean, right. At one point, Harvey was one of the biggest bundlers of the Democratic Party.
What's a bundler? A
guy who takes donations, calls other people up and tells them to donate.
Oh, I thought it was when he took your home and auto insurance and put it together.
The bundling, your Wi-Fi on your phone and your TV.
Yeah.
Actually, bundling is technically illegal. But the way it works is you'll get a call from someone and say, I want you to donate $2,700 to this candidate. And then he'll call up 20 more other people. Meanwhile, he's already promised the candidate that he's going to put together $50,000 for them.
Well, in a world where, again, so how can it go any other way in terms of the young nubile, Sean? I mean, these women, they're
young
insane now,
Jones.
But my God,
perfect.
What they looked like when they were 25 years old and earlier is insane. So number one, that can't go any other way. The other way it can't go any other way is politically, which is, we can cast anyone we want for this role. Why should we pick you? We'll pick you because we saw you at the same function. We're both, you know, look, how many guys, you know how many guys who would simply, if they were a huge Mets fan, and the producer was a huge Mets fan, you are.
Oh, big okay. time Mets fan. Right, so my whole life. Yeah. Only right. The Mets.
Don't mention that the Dodgers fans in your new district.
Be intellectually.
I have season tickets for the Dodgers because I live here. Nice. But when they play
his
the Mets. When they play the Mets.
It's all pinstripes.
I love their uniforms.
No, that's the Yankees. The Yankees are pinstripes. The Mets are not pinstripes.
Don't drive nuts. They've got great
uniforms. Nuts over there.
All I'm saying is, I come walking into your business, your office, and it's between me and three other white guys who are gonna just you're looking for a new guy to do maintenance or something, and I'm wearing a Mets hat. I get in the gig. Why not? Why wouldn't I? We both bonded. We like this team.
And let me tell you, it works. I mean, I went to Syracuse. I see people that went to Syracuse, and they're gonna go to the top of the pile before they go to the.
Right. So politically, why should it work any differently? If you want to, you know, we want to work with Weinstein, you get on the right train politically, and you're going to get more gigs.
And there was also the fact that Weinstein was winning Oscars for a lot of people for a long time.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, all of his movies were getting nominated. They were winning. And, you know, people put up with stuff because they want the accolades. The accolades are all that matter to actors in Hollywood.
Well,
what happened to Bob?
Bob is still – actually, he's supposed to be running the company now that Harvey's gone. That's
bookmark.
And by the way, do you have to leave? I don't feel like – look, if you are Pablo Escobar, you can run a drug empire from a prison cell. Mm-hmm. Don't we – think that Weinstein could go to a Beverly Hills home and run his company?
I'm seeing a lot of stories online that there's a lot of smoke to the idea that his brother may have leaked all this stuff that started.
Sweet vengeance.
Tarantino's like next movie.
I like it. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
It's not.
Gina.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Let's go to stamps.com. Stamps.com. We use it here all the time. All the shipping, all the posters. I make a couple of movies every once in a while. We'll ship them all out here using stamps.com. Buy, print. Official U.S. postage, any letter, any package, any class of mail with your computer and your printer. Super easy, man. They'll even send you a digital scale that'll automatically calculate the exact postage up to 80 pounds. You just plug it in your computer. We have ours sitting in the back, and you just put it on. Because how else would you know? And around the holidays when you're sending stuff to relatives around the country? Let's go now, right now. Enjoy Stamps.com, special four-week trial, plus postage and the digital scale. No long-term commitments. It's 2017. You do all your shopping online. Why wouldn't you do your mail from your home? Why would you go to the post office? Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam. Let them know you heard it here. Stamps.com, this is how you get the deal. Type in the homepage and let them know you heard it here. Type in Adam. Frank DeMartini, man, God bless you. I'd love it if you could get up there and shake things up a little. It's not working, but we're staying the course. Not good for a city, not good for relationships.
Not good for anything.
What is it, Brian?
It's not.
No, it's not, is it?
It's not.
No, Frank, it is not.
It's not.
It's not. We should go to the website, D Martini, that's D-E, and then capital Martini, 2018.com, yes?
Correct, that's it. DMartini2018.com.
We shall keep an eye on you. Come back when you like. Talk a little smack, and we'll have some fun.
Cool.
So until next time, this is... by the way, not Taco Bell material. Minneapolis Music Hall coming up this Friday, the 13th, my lucky day. So I love traveling on Friday for 13th. My favorite thing to do. So
it's not.
That'll be Minneapolis, and then next day, Nashville, Polk Theater, man. I don't get out to Nashville that often, so come on out, say hi. After the show, we'll sign and take pictures and do all that stuff. And that's the one-man show. And then you can go to adamcarolla.com and figure out the live shows that are coming up, Bakersfield, Oxnard, and all that kind of stuff. And say hi to Lynette over at Corolla Drinks. There we go. That's what I want to say. So, until next time, Saturn Pearl for Frank DeMartini, Vinny Tortorich, Tina Grad, Bob Brian Sam. Mahalo.
You can't be trusted with a stomach.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail if you like it. 888-634-1744. And get everything you need at AdamCarolla.com.